The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Do you like your gravy thick and rich and loaded with creamy mushrooms? If no one was looking, would you chug the whole gravy boat?
Chug, 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 chug.
Stay tuned. Here comes Mr. Chug-a-Lug himself, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, we interrupt this program to bring you... a part of the program. Yeah. That's what's so confusing about it. We interrupt the program
okay.
to bring you what really is a part of the program. So in a way, it's not an interruption.
No.
Every week at this time, Thursday, hour two, segment one, we do a segment that we call Ask Metaxas, where you write us questions. And by the way, you're invited, if you didn't already know, to find us. You can email me at ericmetaxas.com or any way you can reach me. And ask anything you want, and my staff picks what they think would be fun or edifying for me to answer. So, Albin,
yes,
you get to ask.
I do.
The first question.
Question number one. My friend says he's a Christian, but he doesn't believe in God. Can you make any sense out of that?
No. That's pretty simple. The answer would be no. I don't think so. Next question. No, seriously, I think... I said this when I spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast in 2012, and I believe that video is at my website at ericmetaxas.com. But I said that when someone, you know, says he's a Christian, it can mean absolutely nothing, and you need to be aware of the fact that anyone saying anything, the Bible tells us we can see what people really believe by their fruits. And so when somebody says he's a Christian, this guy, or she's a Christian, but they don't believe in God, you know, that's like saying I'm a pacifist and now please stand still while I blow your brains out. I mean, these are absurdities. Maybe this person thinks saying he's a Christian means he's a nice guy or he's as good as those other hypocritical Christians down the street. I don't know what people mean, but there are plenty of people also who you know, I hope to meet them in heaven, but their Christianity can be worthless because they say they're Christians, but they're not, you know, they don't even know how to take it seriously. But when somebody says they're a Christian, but they don't believe in God, I'm just going to go with kooky. So let's move on.
Or we'll accept, huh?
Yeah, why?
Huh? Okay, two. You really should interview Elon Musk, Eric. In an interview, when asked what drives him, he said, "I am obsessed with truth. I want to understand the universe." I'd love for you to delve into his brilliant, like yours, mind, Eric. Please, please, please arrange an interview with Elon Musk.
People must think that because I have a show that I could just pick up the phone and call Elon.
Hey, Elon.
I don't know Elon Musk.
Where are you going,
I don't know how to reach him. I couldn't be more delighted to agree with the idea that it would be valuable for me to interview Elon Musk. But I don't have a staff, and I'm looking at you, Albin.
I wrote the number down on a cocktail napkin once, and I wiped my mouth and threw it away.
I used to have Avogadro's number. I lost that. So seriously, I would love the idea. I look forward at some point to interviewing Elon Musk. I just didn't. I don't know. You know, somebody like that is so busy. I imagine that there are tons of people trying to reach him and interview him. So, hey, here's a suggestion. Why don't you folks out there, why don't you pray for me and pray that I would be able to do these things? Because sometimes God can open doors that are otherwise shut. But I would be, you know, genuinely delighted. So I will simply say thanks for the suggestion.
Yes. Number three, I heard Socrates had a big announcement on Thursday at noon. Can you give me a hint? P.S. Loving the Tuesday releases.
Well, by the time this airs, that announcement will have gone out on Thursday at noon, because this program goes live in the earliest markets at 2 p.m. So then there's no reason for me to keep it secret anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the announcement, which if you are on the Socrates email list, you will have already heard this. But the announcement Thursday at noon is of our upcoming events. We have two confirmed. We're probably doing four in the spring, but we've confirmed one on February 28th with Jeannie Constantinou. Let me tell you, oh my gosh, she wrote a book. She's been on this program talking about it, called Crucifixion of the King of Glory. And I thought, at the beginning of Lent, when people need to begin thinking deeply about these things, if you want to, I can't think of a better book. I can't think of a better guest. So she will be my guest here in New York, February 28th. And I guess today's announcement told you when registration begins. So a few days from today, registration opens. Get ready. I think this is going to be a popular one because of the subject and because of the time of year. So that is the announcement. We also announced today, simultaneous with the February 28th announcement of that event in New York City, we today announced an April, I believe it's April 28th event in Seattle with Michael Medved.
Oh, wow.
So, but if you want to know more, sign up for the Socrates in the City emails. And by the way, please do that anyway. And the Tuesday releases, I just think they're the coolest thing ever. The last one is next Tuesday. It's Oz Guinness. Okay.
Okay. Number four, as a fellow runner, tell me how you stay motivated to run outside in the winter.
I was just talking to somebody about this. To me, it's not the cold, because you can wear warm clothes. I wear, for example, a hat. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a crazy thing, but you put a hat on your head, and that helps. But I just think dressing warm is the main issue. The secondary issue, which I think a lot of people might have, is snow. Running on snow, that's a problem. So you have to find a place where you're not running on snow, or you got to get some of that weird stuff that you put on your sneakers, these, like, you know, kind of but for me, living in New York City, snow is rarely a problem. And I enjoy running in the cold, just because the air is crisp and clean. And it's a lot tougher for me to run in the sweltering humidity of the summer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and especially if the sky is blue and there's some sun, I actually enjoy it. But you got to get dressed warmly. I don't know, you know, what people act like, well, I don't want to run outside, it's cold. Well, if you wear enough clothes, you'll be hot. So it's just an issue of finding the right combination of things to wear. But I find it a little bit exhilarating.
Yeah.
And way prefer running in the cold, as I just said, to the humidity of the. I mean, the idea of, you know, when it's 90 degrees or 85 degrees and humid, that's tough.
Well,
so
yeah. In the winter, you could run a hot bath and soak in it
afterward.
Okay.
Not while you're running. If you try to do that while you're running, it's going to defeat the purpose. I just want to say
number
that's
five
a technical point. Yes.
Favorite thing about living in New York City.
Well, that's where my wife currently resides, and we live together, and so that's really the favorite thing. It's kind of funny because, you know, when people talk about where they live, and every place you live has its ups and its downs. I don't think there's any perfect place, but there's so many things about New York. First of all, this studio is in New York, so if I didn't live in New York, I don't know where I would be doing my radio from, but I love doing it from these beautiful TBN studios. That's one thing. I also have most of my friends are in New York. We're close to the airport, so that anytime that I need to go someplace, it's a little easier than it would be if I lived in the hinterlands. And of course, this is weird, but, you know, my folks live in Connecticut. And because I want to honor my father and mother and spend as much time, free time with them as I can. Living in New York makes that possible. But yeah. I still think that, you know, when people talk about New York, there are many New Yorks. You know, when people come to New York and like hang around Times Square, I'm thinking I would never do that. I hate Times Square. I don't know why you'd wander around there like an idiot. Like, I just don't get that. So the question is, what part of New York? What are you doing in New York if you're visiting or if you're living here and stuff? So there's no easy answer to that one. So I'm just going to go with the fact that that's the current residence of my current wife, Suzanne. Well, anyway, that ends our segment of Ask Metaxas. We'll be right back with our irregular programming. Don't go away. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Welcome back, folks. I continue my conversation with Roger Stone. The book is The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Roger, before the break in the last segment, you were talking about really how there's nothing new under the sun. The war of those in power with those who get in their way, mere, you know, United States presidents, whether it's John F. Kennedy or Richard Nixon or Donald Trump, that war has been going on for some time. And it's so clear from your book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, how powerful these forces were when we were kids. In other words, this is not something that happened in 2020 or in 2016. This goes way, way, way back. And it's only really the way it expresses itself that has changed. In other words, now it has expressed itself into the open where more and more people are willing to acknowledge that, yes, this is not a conspiracy. This is, in fact, the truth. And these forces, just to be clear, are arrayed against we, the people. These forces are elites. They weren't always globalist elites, but they are elites who've taken it upon themselves to govern us rather than to be governed by us, we the people. And so maybe my question for you just now to kick us off as we continue is, when do you think this kind of congealed? Because as I look back, I mean, J. Edgar Hoover creates the FBI, which becomes his fiefdom, and we now know it is being used against your average American. But the creation of the FBI, the creation of the CIA, the ability of someone like a Johnson to amass such power, when did this reach, I guess, the level that it did? Because as we go back through the decades, it's obvious that these things were in place in the 50s and 60s and made the murder of Kennedy possible. But even going before that, because, you know, we know that when George Washington and Alexander Hamilton were around, this wasn't a thing. When did this become a thing? How do you see this?
I actually think 1963 it becomes a tipping point. No one ever expected J. Edgar Hoover to not only be the first director of the FBI, but to be the only director of FBI, a job that he held for 48 years. In 1969, even though Nixon enjoyed a very good relationship with Hoover, and even though there is some evidence that when Nixon, as a congressman, was pursuing Alger Hiss, a high-level Roosevelt aide who Nixon accused as a member of the House Un-American Activities Committee of being a communist spy, that Hoover most likely fed intelligence to Nixon to make that case. By the way, many years later, when the Soviet Union fell and the KGB records became publicly available, we learned that Alger Hiss really was a communist spy, and Nixon was right. But in 1969, Nixon had decided that it was time to put Hoover out to pasture. He summons the FBI director to his office. Bob Haldeman records in his diary, this was the day in which Nixon was supposed to tell Hoover that his resignation was going to be requested. And Hoover very deftly pulls out yet another manila envelope. And in it, he has a photograph of former Vice President Richard Nixon in bed with a Chinese hostess in Hong Kong. Photos that had been supplied to the FBI by British intelligence, taken through a hotel room window at a time that Nixon was not in public office. And Hoover said to Nixon reportedly, "Don't worry, Mr. President, these photos are safe with me." Needless to say, Hoover did not turn in his resignation.
I don't think that's in this book, is it?
No, that is in my book, Nixon's Secrets. It's also in my book, Tricky Dick, The Rise and Fall and Rise of Richard M. Nixon. It is pretty fully documented as well. So there has always been these activities. It was not really until Bob Woodward decided to try to cut his partner, Carl Bernstein, out of a lot of money that they made together in their Watergate narrative, that Bernstein came forward and told us all about Operation Mockingbird. What was that? Well, it turns out the Central Intelligence Agency had many, many, many U.S. journalists on the payroll. And they were on the payroll to accentuate certain things the intelligence agencies wanted to say and suppress other news. Is it therefore surprising that the entire Russian collusion hoax, which seized the entire media for almost 3 years, turns out to be a total, as we say in New York, a fugazi? Yesterday, Aaron Blake of The Washington Post has a piece in which he recycles the same lie. Donald Trump's campaign officials were sharing polling information with a known Russian intelligence asset. The problem is the man in question, Konstantin Kalimnik, is a U.S. intelligence asset, not a Russian intelligence asset. But that doesn't stop Blake from recycling the same lie over and over and over again. So the role of the legacy media, the role of the media, whether it was in 1963, 1974, or today, has to be been to work hand in glove with the ruling elite, with this military industrial complex, or call them the deep state if you want, to further a narrative that is, in most cases, not actually the truth.
It's, again, I'm repeating myself, but it's hard to process. This is ugly stuff, folks. But if we, the people, don't talk about it, and if we don't expose it, and if we don't work with those who are working hard to expose it, we are guilty of allowing these things to continue, because this is tremendously nefarious stuff. We're just talking about parts of it. Getting back to the book, when you talk about the mafia, what's so interesting to me, Roger, is the way evil works. In other words, if you talk today about, you know, vaccine mandates and Chinese communist pressure on this or on that, you realize the way that evil works is it says, well, we know, for example, that the people in big pharma, they're greedy. And if we can incentivize them, if they can make unbelievable amounts of money, they'll go along with the plan. And that's what happens, because it's not like there's one or two people. It takes a lot of actors. And so when you make the case about LBJ, it is because the mafia was burning with hatred at John Kennedy that they could work with the mafia to help them. It is because Hoover was burning with hatred against RFK for the humiliations. RFK, Robert F. Kennedy, obviously, would it seemed to me he delighted in humiliating whether it was Hoover or LBJ. So he shares some of the guilt, in a sense, ginning this up. He didn't play nice. But it takes so many different pieces. And again, that is what's so fascinating, because when somebody says it was the mob, you were saying it earlier, oh, no, it was the FBI. No, but it was all of them working together. But it was, in fact, LBJ who stood to gain the most.
Cui bono, as they say in Latin, who benefits? No, Robert Kennedy knew that Lyndon Johnson engineered the break-in in John Kennedy's doctor's office in New York City, obtained his medical records that proved that Kennedy was suffering from Addison's disease, that Texas Governor John Connally and the Republican, the Democratic National Committee woman from Texas, India Edwards, I believe was her name, had a press conference in Los Angeles laying out John Kennedy's health records and saying he won't live long enough to be president. Folks, he has Addison's disease. We also know that John Kennedy produced a letter from his personal physician denying that he had Addison's disease. We also know from the official autopsy that that was a lie. But Robert Kennedy knew who broke into the doctor's office, and he hated Lyndon Johnson for then blackmailing his way onto the ticket. It is also true, as you point out, that both Kennedy brothers belittled Johnson, left him out of the loop. But at the Democratic National Convention, when Johnson agreed to be vice president or angled for it, he was asked in a press conference, why would you want to give up all the power of being Senate majority leader, one of the most powerful positions, for the powerless position of vice president? He said, well, look at the large number of vice presidents who became president upon the death of the president. Let's just say I'm a betting man. There it is.
You know
right
something?
There.
I don't remember that. Talk about a telling quote. Holy cow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Folks, I continue my conversation with Roger Stone. The book is The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Please don't forget to go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. If you scroll all the way down, I ask you to sign up for the newsletter. We want to share this interview in its entirety, video, with you, ericmetaxas.com. We'll be right back. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com. Hey, folks, I'm talking to Roger Stone. Roger, I'm talking to you. And you're talking to me. And we're talking about your book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. And part of the larger reason I want to talk to you about it, other than the fact that it's fascinating and true and well-written and a great read, is that it speaks to where we are right now in the United States of America. And when I was reading the book, I didn't expect it to do that, but it did, and it does. We are living with what, as you say, had a tipping point in 1963, these dark forces that were not intended to be there when the founders created this great nation, the greatest nation in the history of the world. They were not expecting that the fiefdom of J. Edgar Hoover would come into being and that somebody for a half a century would have tremendous power, unelected official, and on and on and on. So today we see these forces arrayed for similar but different reasons against Donald Trump and anyone who would get behind him. Where do you see things with Trump right now? Do you, as I do, think that he will be president in 2020, will be reelected?
Oh, first of all, Eric, thanks again for having me. By the way, if people want to get a copy of The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, the best place to go is StoneZone.com in the shop. StoneZone.com in the shop. You can get a signed copy. You can also get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble if you want to give your money to multinational corporations that hate you. But if you want to get a signed copy, you can go to StoneZone.com in the shop. And I cover this in my new Substack, RogerStone.substack.com. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, I actually believe the prophecy of Kim Clement, who said that Donald Trump, who he names as early as 2007, will serve two terms as president. I believe that. I believe that that prophecy will be fulfilled.
Hold on a second. Now, I want to make sure. Right Wing Watch, did you catch that? Very important. Roger Stone believes a prophecy from 2007 by Kim Clement. I would never talk about anything on this program like that myself. You understand, it's my guest, Roger Stone. Roger, obviously, I'm with you on that. And I think even common sense dictates that there is no one. Listen, I can't wait for Ron DeSantis to be president in 2028 or 2032. But it seems to me there is no one like Donald Trump capable of taking on a lot of the forces that we're talking about here. He's a smart cookie. He's extremely sharp and wise when it comes. I think he's been on a learning curve. I think that he didn't know what he now knows back in 2016. If he did, things would have gone differently. But tell us about what you suppose he's going to be up against as he, because he has, of course, declared that he does want to.
I think we already see this. There's often a disconnect between what the media tells us is happening in the country and what is really happening in the country. And for the last several months, we've been subjected to a spate of stories in all mediums telling us that Trump is finished. He's done. He's out of energy. The people are fed up with him. The Republicans want to move on. Only Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who goes to great pains to sound like Donald Trump, but trust me, is very different than Donald Trump, can win. Then suddenly, day before yesterday, the new Harvard-Harris poll comes out. This is, in fact, an authoritative public opinion survey conducted by Mark Penn, not exactly a Trump supporter, but a Dr. Mark Penn, one of the most respected pollsters in the country. And it shows that if the election were held tomorrow, not only would Donald Trump defeat Joe Biden or, in his place, Vice President Harris, but he would defeat both of them by a larger margin than Governor DeSantis would. Now, that doesn't fit the media narrative, but it's the second poll, a different pollster, that has now shown that result. If you want to just look at Republican preference, there are some outliers there. You can cook a poll by throwing non-primary voters into it, by throwing independents who are not Republicans and not eligible to vote in the selection process into the sample. But when you do a proper screen and a large enough and scientifically balanced sample, you find that Donald Trump maintains a 17-point lead over the nearest challenger. That would be Governor Ron DeSantis. And that Donald Trump has a very hard, very intense 45% to 48% of the vote. There's another 20% who are open to voting for him, but for them, it's very early. This election, I'll remind you, is almost 2 full years away. So I think he is in the best possible position. For those who say, well, he announced his candidacy, but did not immediately go on the road and start doing rallies, I think he announced his candidacy as a marker. That's a marker for anybody else who might be thinking of running to let them know that he's definitely running again. Because there are a number of prospective candidates who, at least early on, said that if he didn't run, they would consider running. Mike Pompeo comes to mind. Nikki Haley. Now, they both changed their tune. They originally said, oh, I wouldn't run if Trump is running. Now they're both saying, well, I'm probably going to run whether Trump runs or not. So laying down the marker, I think, was a pretty smart thing to do to figure out where in the grass some of these snakes are. Governor DeSantis is very popular. But then if I spent $50 million on television in the last 60 days, I'd be very popular. I've written a pretty extensive piece again on my Substack at rogerstone.substack.com, making the case that whether it is the COVID-19 vaccination or whether it is critical race theory being taught in the schools or whether it is children being admitted to drag queen parties, that the governor's rhetoric does not really match his record.
We'll be right back with Roger Stone.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. That's InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
Hey, folks, I'm talking to Roger Stone, and you're not. But here's the thing. It's a radio show. It's a podcast. You can watch the video. You can participate in the conversation. Before I continue the conversation, I want to remind you, please go to SalemNow.com for many, many reasons. There is a film there now called Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, talking about Disney. You need to know about it. If you ever spend another dime in the Disney universe, you are on the hook, folks, for the country going down the tubes. Just saying. So go to SalemNow.com. You can also see the crazy show that I did with Albin. Actually, we shouldn't talk about that publicly. Roger Stone can be found at rogerstone.substack.com. You can purchase the book we're discussing and other books and other things at stonezone.com. Roger, we're talking about a lot of stuff. It's always fun to talk to you. We're talking about Trump and DeSantis. I think Trump is we've always known him to be a fighter, but it seems to me that what these various forces we've been discussing in the course of these 2 hours, what they have put him and his family through. You and I were there at Mar-a-Lago when he announced, and when he referenced his son, Eric, sitting there in the front row, what they had put his son through. And I saw that Eric had tears in his eyes because he and his family have gone through hell at the hands of some of these forces. So it seems to me that Donald Trump really understands what he is up against, what we the people are up against, and that for that reason alone would be the best candidate.
Well, Eric, look, just because I have been a friend of Donald Trump's for 43 years and one of the first people in the country to suggest that he run for president, supported him in 2016, supported him in 2020, support him today. As you know, I was targeted by the Mueller witch hunt. I was pressured to lie about my relationship with Trump, which I refused to do. I was accused specifically of lying under oath to Congress about Russian collusion that we now definitively know never took place. It's almost hard to believe. And yet today, my wife and I are still facing 11 totally baseless, totally groundless, totally unsubstantiated harassment civil lawsuits designed to drag my name through the mud yet one more time and to run up tens of thousands of dollars worth of legal fees. And this is nothing compared to what Eric Trump and his family have been through. So we have a two-tier justice system. We saw the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. Where is the FBI raid in Joe Biden's beach house in Rehoboth, Delaware? Where is the raid on his brother Jim Biden's home? Where is the raid on Hunter's place? Although I guess we now know he was paying $50,000 a month to rent a room from his father in Wilmington. By the way, I've got a spare room here for anybody who needs a place, and I'll let you have it for $50,000 a month. I mean, this is really an absurdity. Biden attacks Donald Trump, saying his handling of classified documents is irresponsible. Then we find out old Joe has had classified documents illegally in his possession since the time he was a U.S. senator. But no raid on his home.
Although, don't you think the fix is in for old Joe, that it's over? I mean, it seems to me that whoever is actually running the government, whatever lizard people are really behind the scenes running the government, that they've decided that, you know, they want to kick him out. So this is the equivalent of, showing the manila folder with some photographs in it. It seems to me that he's going to be forced out, that Kamala Harris will be president, which I think will be the greatest gift America has ever received. The idea that that woman would be, I mean, it's sort of like, okay, now you wanted this. Now you're going to get it. Now you're going to see. I kind of think that's what's going to happen. I don't see him finishing his term.
I agree with this analysis. I think that those who are running the country, principally Barack Obama and his wife and their top aides, have decided that Joe is too heavy a burden to bear, that he is now dispensable. Between the coming investigations into his business activities with his son and his brother, where he's lied repeatedly about not being involved, where it appears to me like he's taking large sums of money from foreign entities passed through his son. When you combine that with his inability to string together a coherent sentence, his culpability now in holding on to documents he should not have had in his possession, add that to the highest gas prices in our history, the worst inflation in many decades, food shortages, the humiliation of our country around the globe in Afghanistan, currently being threatened by the Chinese. The fact that the Chinese are systematically buying up every square inch of America that Americans are willing to sell them, they realize that Joe Biden cannot limp through yet another election. Kamala Harris, as president, could only be replaced as a Democratic nominee. The only way to replace a woman of color, of course, is with another woman of color.
Can we find one?
Which is why I ultimately believe that Michelle Obama will be the Democratic nominee for president in 2024. And Kamala Harris will be promised a seat. Sit down, Eric, on the U.S. Supreme Court in return for stepping aside.
Where she can cackle against the Constitution. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's interesting, Roger. I think that's probably about what is going to happen. And I feel like, it's worth getting some popcorn and enjoying the show a little bit, because I do think that the chickens are coming home to roost on many levels. I do think that DeSantis will challenge President Trump, and it will be a foolish thing that he does. I think that the right thing for him to do, based on loyalty and all kinds of other things, would be to go to Donald Trump and say, tell me how I can help you, sir. That would be the right thing. I fear that he's not going to do the right thing. I fear that he's going to he thinks this is it for him. This is his moment. I'm sure there are people around him telling him, this is it. Go for it. You're going to do it. So we will see. We're going to go to break. Final segment with Roger Stone. You can find him at StoneZone.com and RogerStone.substack.com. Don't go away. Heading for a showdown. Bad dream, what you made.
Stuck with riding on the same train.
Folks, welcome back. Talking to Roger Stone. Isn't it fun? Yes, it is. Roger, right now, the lunacy of these discovered documents that are being found all over, you know, Joe Biden's whatever, everywhere. Where do you think this goes? Because we do see the mainstream media kind of forced to cover this. This is a sea change. The idea that they're deciding, oh yeah, I guess we have to talk about this. So. We just said a moment ago, it does seem that the powers that be, the lizard people, of course, that they have determined that Joe has to go. They got to put him on the ice floe and release him into the North Sea. It's over. But what do you think? How do you think this plays itself out in the next weeks and months?
Well, one of two ways. Either they will prevail on Joe Biden to resign and he will pardon his son and his brother on his way out the door, probably with a promise from a newly elevated Kamala Harris to then pardon Joe. Or if he doesn't trust them, he does have the power to pardon himself. I think that if he refuses to go, and by the way, he's very, very stubborn as an individual. Add a layer of senile dementia on top of that, makes him even more stubborn. And Jill certainly doesn't want to go anywhere, in which case, if they have to, they could remove him under the 25th Amendment. That only requires a majority of the cabinet, which Barack Obama could surely round up, plus the approval of the sitting vice president. Well, you can see her interest in such a move. So either way, and I don't wish him any ill will. I really don't, because I'm a Christian. I actually pray for him because he's still the leader of our country, whether we like it or not. But I don't see him filling out the balance of this term. I don't even see him filling out the balance of this year. At the same time, professional Democrats, and I do know a few, know that they cannot go into a general election with Kamala Harris, which is why I believe that ultimately they clean house, that Michelle Obama is probably their strongest potential candidate, probably on a ticket with California Governor Gavin Newsom, who can point to the California miracle, I guess, in his campaign. But I think that's what we will be up against. And they will leave the Biden record behind. No one should make light of that. Michelle Obama will be a very, very tough contender. She is very, very popular with large swaths of the American electorate. How you would go about attacking a woman who is not Hillary Clinton is a very delicate political question. But I think she will ultimately be the Democratic nominee. And Joe will be able to have a lot of time to spend with his Corvette.
Well, you said he can pardon himself. That's interesting. This is all interesting. Whom do you suppose Trump might choose as his running mate should Mike Pence make himself unavailable?
That's almost impossible to say because you don't know what the nomination contest has been like. We're going to have a nomination contest. I think it's going to be a spirited one. I think Trump is going to prevail. But only at the end of that contest would you know geographically or politically or demographically who the right running mate might be. There are some who are going to argue, well, we need a woman. Maybe it's a Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for example. Then she would be 2 years into her governorship. We would have some way to judge the job that she's done.
Well, I think since we're out of time, let me suggest as his running mate, a man who could carry Texas, Lyndon Baines Johnson. And in case you don't understand what I mean by that, folks, you need to get the book. It's called The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ by the great Roger Stone. Roger Stone, thank you very much.
Eric, great to be with you, and God bless you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.